From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on This Day in Maine, Tuesday, June 26, 2018. And on this day, the intractable politics surrounding clean elections funding in Maine and a futuristic new plan to bring energy to Isle of Hoe. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
In Augusta, political charges and countercharges are flying around efforts to preserve the state program that gives public funding to state election candidates. And as Mal Leary reports, the fight over the Maine Clean Elections Act is unlikely to be over anytime soon.
For weeks, Maine lawmakers have known that a drafting error in the state budget passed last year prevents the Maine Ethics Commission from paying its bills and providing payments to candidates under the voter-approved Clean Elections Act. The money to fund the program was appropriated, but not the ability to spend the money. Supporters blame House Republicans for the problem. Senate Minority Leader Troy Jackson, a Democrat from Allegash, says House Republicans are trying to gain an advantage in the fall elections by refusing to correct the mistake or to compromise on the issue.
And you know, when you do this dance, not to piss off people, you know, but we're at the end here. I mean, we got to go, and we will.
House Minority Leader Ken Fordette of Newport says it's not that House Republicans are engaging in election politics. He says they're simply trying to set spending priorities against a backdrop of too much spending.
The House Republicans are actually trying to pay attention to our books. What that means is that since we've come back in session, we've blown through about $140 million of our surplus.
Fordette says his caucus does not believe financing political campaigns should be a state priority. Less than a third of all the House Republican candidates have chosen to use public financing. That compares to 75% of all Democratic candidates for the House who have chosen to get financing under the Clean Elections Act. Among Senate candidates, half the Republicans and 90% of Democrats are using the law. Democratic House Majority Leader Erin Herberg of Belfast says she does not understand opposition to fixing the glitch in the law.
I think it comes down to a very basic question, which is why would you not support clean elections? It takes dark money. It takes out-of-state money. It takes large donors out of politics.
But Representative Jeff Timberlake, a Republican from Turner, has never liked public financing of elections. He says the U.S. Supreme Court rulings have made the goal of taking big money out of politics an impossibility.
You've never got the money out of politics. Every PAC in the state of Maine, every special interest group in the state of Maine dumps more money into politics. Then we can all shake a stick at it, and it doesn't make any difference which side you're talking about.
Timberlake says he's offered a compromise that would fix the language allowing the Ethics Commission to continue to operate. But his plan would not provide what the commission says is needed to fully fund clean elections candidates this fall. Democrats are refusing to go along. Meanwhile, supporters of the voter-approved clean elections law are considering legal action to allow the commission to spend what they need to meet their obligations under the law. Anna Keller is the executive director of Maine Citizens for Clean Elections.
There's a strong argument to be made to instruct the agencies giving out the money to ignore that typo and go ahead and fulfill what they owe to candidates.
Maine voters have contributed more than $45,005 contributions to candidates who have chosen to run with public financing. Supporters of the law say House Republicans are running the risk of losing support among those voters. They also point out that there are some Republican candidates for the House who have chosen to use the Clean Elections Act, and they say they will also be hurt if the law is not fixed. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
You are listening to Maine Public Radio. Renewable energy sources like wind and solar are muscling their way into the country's energy mix, but they're pretty unpredictable, and that creates significant management challenges and big swings in electricity prices. Now, tiny Isle of Ho is the laboratory for a big solution. Islanders and engineers are using artificial intelligence, complex algorithms, and a bootstrapping attitude in an urgent effort to design what they are calling the next electricity grid. Fred Bever explains why.
From the mailboat out to Isle of Ho, about 6 miles off Stonington, you can see red-lettered signs warning mariners of an underwater cable. It's the one that brings electricity to the island, and that cable could wear out at any moment. It's already 17 years beyond its predicted life.
Seeing, you know, if that cable fails, it'd be a disaster for the island.
Stephen Strong is one of a group of engineers, scientists, and islanders trying to avert that disaster. Their solution is a flexible microgrid, an array of island-based energy generators and storage systems that will keep the lights on and houses warm when that cable fails. And they're trying to do it for less than the $1.7 million cost of a new cable, or probably even costlier, gasoline, to run a grid-scale diesel generator.
And the microgrid is less expensive, and they keep the money on the island when they're done.
Strong is lead engineer for an electricity system that will be anchored by a half-acre field of solar panels. It'll also include some pretty massive batteries, electric heat pumps that can store excess energy in basement water tanks, and as a kind of safety net for it all, a diesel generator. On a visit to the shed housing that generator, scientist Kay Aiken playfully half-closes a door on the project collaborators.
We'll lock them in.
You're not getting out until we have a microgrid.
Aiken's Portland-based company, Introspective Systems, designed software for artificial intelligence networks that can manage complex systems, or really, teach them to manage themselves.
It's like building an engineered ecosystem.
This is my laboratory.
The company has a $1 million grant from the U.S. Department of Energy to design an electricity ecosystem that's run by artificial intelligence. On Isle of Ho, AI computer chips will let solar panels, batteries, heat pumps, and the lot decide for themselves when to make energy, when to take it, use it, or store it, depending on what's most cost-effective. Company co-founder Carol Johnson says the island's smart energy assets will compete and cooperate, sort of the way swamp-dwelling frogs and snakes do.
A frog has a perspective that involves not being eaten by a snake. A snake is quite different. You know, how do I catch frogs?
Yet the sometimes warring impulses of frogs and snakes, taken together, help keep the swamp balanced, even in the face of complex and swiftly changing conditions.
The decisions that are made by the entities in the swamp are all independent, but the result is a stable ecosystem. And so that's what we're trying to achieve in terms of the systems we design, computationally stable ecosystem.
Such as a self-controlling microgrid on Isle of Ho. And you can scale it up, linking one microgrid to another and another, then to an electrical substation and another, then to the electrical network for a state or region, all the way up to the entire nation's grid system. All controlled, says Kay Aiken, from the grid's edges.
And you can do the very fine control with thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of devices without a supercomputer.
That layered nodal network will be more agile, she says, than the traditional central command grid systems now run by small armies of analysts, and it will more effectively respond to the multiplex of non-polluting energy sources that are popping up all over the country.
It's more reliable, it's more robust, it's resilient, failures are isolated.
For the president of the island's electricity company, Jim Wilson, a sophisticated vision for a renewable energy future is all well and good. But the bottom line is that the local experiments will protect islanders against the unaffordable cost of replacing an old underwater cable.
At a minimum, it prevents a collapse of the population. But down the road, we should have very stable prices and maybe even competitive with the mainland. If we didn't do this project, our electricity prices could go through the roof when the cable fails.
Wilson says the collaborators hope to get this small model for what eventually could be major change in the nation's energy systems up and running by New Year's Eve. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Tuesday, June 26, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team. I'm Nora Flaherty.